And I guess, Jennifer, what it comes down to with me, I've been trying to figure out how to get through on all this, is you obviously have very sincere and deep religious beliefs, and there's no doubt in my mind that you come from a very religious household with your children. And so I guess I don't understand why you're so concerned, because since your son has these values at home, it's not like he's going to go out and read a single book and then wake up and say, oh, you know what, my mom's wrong, I'm going to become a Muslim. Isn't it enough to be proud of your son for what he is and what you have made him and to trust his judgment out there in the world?
I guess what is key in my mind is that this nation did start as a Christian nation. I know the atheists will tell you a lot of different stuff, but if you research the facts, this nation was a Christian nation, and it has enjoyed the hand of God protecting it for many years now. And if you start telling his children, forcing them, mandating them to start looking at other gods and praying to other gods, his hand is going to be taken apart, taken away from this land. And we are all going to have to live with the consequences of that.
Which comes back to the question I raised before the news break. What is the role of teaching religion, comparative religion, in public schools?
What is the role?
Yeah, I mean, is there any justification for teaching comparative religions? You may be a Christian, and your son may be a Christian, but shouldn't they know a little bit about a Muslim boy or what it means to be a Muslim, for example?
Do you think John Walker got anywhere in learning about Islam? It's just like God in the Garden of Eden. He said, don't eat of this tree. It's not good for you.
Right.
And they said, I want to eat it anyway, and look what happened.
Annie, jump in, because you teach comparative religion all the time.
What's the
value of teaching comparative religion?
Because in order for children to exist in a global sense in their communities and in the world, it's very important that they understand what someone else's belief system consists of, so that they understand how to communicate, and so that we can do something like what we'd like to try to do here is take apples and oranges and recognize that they're both fruit. Now, what can we do with that?
Yeah.
What can we do with that?
Do you shoot up heroin to understand the heroin addict? You don't do that. You don't ask a kid to imagine shooting up heroin so you can understand the heroin addict.
This is not the same thing.
Why isn't it?
It has nothing to do with
exactly
the value
the
system.
Same thing.
But
it's
I
not
do
exactly the same
I
thing.
I do remember being in high school and having a heroin addict come in, talk about his problem. He was a recovered heroin addict.
Great.
So that we had an idea what it was like to be
Great.
A heroin addict.
Get a recovered Muslim in there and to ask him some questions.
Oh. I'm trying to be prepared. But isn't that what you just said offensive to people of the Muslim faith? Because you just said a recovered Muslim. And there are a lot of nice Muslim people.
I know
in the world,
there's
Jennifer.
A lot of very nice Muslim people. And God himself said, I mean, God never told us to go out and make other people Christians.
Right.
So we all have this freedom of choice. We do. But not in the Muslim society. Look at any Muslim nation that is predominantly Muslim. You talk about Jesus Christ over there, you will be killed. There is a missionary from our church that's over in Jerusalem. And she converted a man who was Muslim. He was beaten, tortured, kidnapped, thrown in a trunk. They thought he was dead. They found out he's in prison, and he's waiting to see if he's going to be executed because he converted to Christianity. It's a whole different thing over there.
Again, you want the book out.